And so we're today, as previously noted, continuing our four-part teaching series that we're calling the Simple Series. And in this series, we are describing and explaining in some detail that model of ministry that we're presently pursuing at Holy Cross, a model of ministry designed to help us be more authentic disciples of Jesus Christ and to help us help others to be more authentic disciples of Jesus Christ. And being disciples of Jesus Christ and helping others to do the same is the church's primary mission. As you're familiar with, perhaps what is commonly referred to as the Great Commission, that is Jesus' commissioning us, as we have it in Matthew chapter 28. And Matthew, setting up the scene, said, and Jesus came and said to them, this is after his resurrection and prior to his ascension, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. And since that is true, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, even as you're doing it, to the end of the age." And so since this is what Jesus wants us to be doing, he wants us to be disciples, and part of being disciples is making disciples, at Holy Cross we're attempting as best we can to make this simple purpose the primary focus of everything that we do. And the process for accomplishing this simple purpose is as simple as the purpose itself. Indeed, in order to be disciples of Jesus Christ ourselves and to help others be disciples, we want to commit ourselves and we invite others to commit themselves and join us in the pursuit of a simple four-step process. Now, to help us get a handle on the process, we've created this simple visual that you'll see there on the screen. And they tell me, actually, and I think we're going to update this, but you can see it if you're watching at home than if you're here, but we'll make it as clear as we can as the weeks go on. But step one, as we covered last week, is worship God regularly. Step two is grow together faithfully. Step three is serve others lovingly. And the fourth, which leads back to the first, because when you reach the fourth step, you're not finished. You just keep on winding round and winding round the first step, the second step, the third step, the fourth step, the first step, the second. The fourth is maturing in Christ continuously. And today we're talking about that second step in the process, and that is growing together faithfully. Growing together faithfully. And notice that step two is something that we do together. Indeed, the first two words of the step are grow together. Not grow alone in isolation, but grow together in community. Indeed, all of us are created in the image and likeness of God, and even God, if you've ever thought about it, is a community of persons. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In fact, even from the Great Commission, Jesus said, go and baptize them in the name, not names, in the name. Whose name? God's name. And what is God's name? God's name is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so all of us are created in God's image. God is a community of persons. And God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, as Scripture teaches us, they do everything together. They create together. They sustain the creation together. Together, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit enter into covenant community with us. And they love each other. The Father loves the Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And Jesus goes away and he says, but I'm sending you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, who's just like me. And the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. And so they invite us to share in their community of love and to share in their community of power and to share in the community of their divine, eternal life. And just as the members of the Trinity do all things together, so God means for us, as members of the body of His Son, to do all things together, in whose image we're created, this community of persons. Indeed, God means for us to grow together spiritually, not in isolation. It's not a private study. We grow together, not in isolation, but in community. Not just facing forward, as we are all doing now, as we do in worship, where the focus is God Himself, but facing together, facing each other. In smaller settings, in small groups, as they're sometimes called, in settings where we can really see each other face to face and make an impact on each other, because that setting is conducive to such. It was Nicky Gumbel, who was a one-time vicar at Holy Trinity Church in Brompton in the Diocese of London, who said that big things often happen in small settings. And that is especially true when it comes to discipleship. Or Howard Hendricks in a book that we studied, Holy Cross Men studied a few years back in small group. The book was called Living by the Book. It was about how to study the Bible. But in that book, he said something else. He said, you can impress others from a distance, but you really, in order to really make an impact on others, you have to get up close. You can impress people from a distance, but to really make an impact on others, you have to get up close. And it's by making a spiritual impact on others for good that our lives are transformed. In fact, I was thinking about this just the other day. In 2019, I became the facilitator for the Holy Cross Men, and some of the men have been with us all those 5 years or so, and others have joined and so forth. And I was just reflecting on how things have changed within the group and what we talk about, and the growth that's taken place is absolutely phenomenal. The men that are participating in it are just not the same. And it happens within this context. But at Holy Cross, there's a threefold motto. In fact, it's a threefold model that predates me. I came in 2008. They already had this threefold motto, and while our mission and vision and core values have changed, because those things change over time, we've kept the motto because it's just so good. And you know it, perhaps, right? Welcoming all, transforming lives, glorifying God. But that second bit, right, transforming lives. And when our lives are being transformed, that God is glorified. When our character is being changed, and when we are becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. Dan Allender, in the film that was published a few years back that called The Heart of Man, a Christian psychiatrist, he said, God isn't trying to get us to conform. Rather, Allender said, God is inviting us to be radically transformed. And more often than not, real radical spiritual transformation takes place in small settings. And in fact, Jesus himself knew this. Indeed, Jesus met regularly with his disciples and potential disciples in small settings. He regularly met with the 12. I think there was 9 of us yesterday morning at Holy Cross Men. I think there might have been 12 at Holy Cross Women last Wednesday night. But Jesus met with the 12 regularly, and then he met with the 3, you will remember. Out of the 25% of that group of 12, there was Peter, James, and John, and he did special things with them in small settings, such as the Transfiguration. And Jesus met with the 1 in John chapter 4. We know her as the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and all that came out of that one conversation. Extraordinary. In fact, I've been a pastor of small churches basically all of my ministry. And it has happened. It happens now once in a while. It hasn't happened in a while, but you get everything set up and the people have signed up and so on, and then nobody comes. And so then you say, well, Lord, I guess we have the night off. But if one comes, then it's worth it. And we have Jesus as a model. And he had that profound conversation with that woman. In fact, it was so profound that at one point she says, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. And then she went into town and she said, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. And it was just the two of them. And her life was changed forever. And so the apostles, they continue this same process of making disciples and the settings and the model like Jesus himself used. There were large groups sometimes, like those who, the disciples and those who were listening over their shoulders as Jesus shared the famous Sermon on the Mount and blessed and blessed and blessed. And smaller groups. And so we read in Luke's account of the earliest church in Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 41. And those who received Peter's word and were baptized in verse 42. And they devoted themselves. You see, we're all devoted to something. What did they devote themselves to? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. To those who walked with him and those who were teaching what he taught. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And then awe came over every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and their belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need, and day by day attending temple together. That's a big setting. And breaking bread in their homes. That's a small setting. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And so if we would grow as disciples of Jesus Christ, that process of growth and transformation will include growing together in small settings. And so step two in the process for being and making disciples begins with the invitation to grow together. And notice it doesn't happen automatically. Indeed, notice that step two in its entirety, to grow together faithfully. They devoted themselves to it. And so do we then. Indeed, spiritual growth and transformation doesn't happen automatically. And it doesn't happen accidentally. Indeed, those who grow spiritually are deliberate and faithful about it. And they do what they need to do to grow. Indeed, Gregory Boyle, in his great book, published a few years back now, pre-COVID, Tattoos on the Heart, he said that the slow work of God gets done when we are faithful. The slow work of God gets done when we are faithful, and growth and transformation takes time. And that's why we must be faithfully devoted to it. Or as someone else has written, people who are serious about something always make room for it in their schedules. And so those who grow spiritually are deliberately doing it and faithful about it. And they do it in community together with other believers, facing each other, looking each other in the eye and interacting with one another. And in context small enough for such to happen. Indeed, it's in this sort of small context that we're able to do the quote-unquote one another's of the scriptures. You're familiar with those, aren't you? The one another, right? We heard one this morning, the words from the words of Jesus. And John chapter 13, verse 34, love one another. Or Hebrews 3 and 13, encourage one another. Galatians 5 and 13, serve one another. Ephesians 4 and verse 2, be patient with one another. Philippians 2, honor one another. 1 Thessalonians 5, build up one another. Indeed, Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, he wrote that over 500 times in the New Testament, the phrase one another is used. Or 50 times, excuse me, I've put one too many zeros there. 50, over 50 times. Over 50 times in the New Testament, the phrase one another is used. And we are commanded to love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, admonish one another, greet one another, serve one another, teach one another, accept one another, honor, forgive, submit to, and be devoted to one another, etc. These are all the family responsibilities, Warren says. These are the family responsibilities that God expects you to fulfill through the local fellowship, the local church, the local body of believers. And then he asks the question, are you doing these? And he continues, it may seem easier to be holy when no one else is around to frustrate your preferences. But that is a false, untested holiness. Isolation breeds deceitfulness, he says. And it's easy to fool ourselves into thinking that we are spiritually mature if there's no one around to challenge us, because real maturity emerges where relationships exist. And the key to the one another idea is reciprocation. You invest in me, I invest in you. I invest in you, you invest in me. And so church life isn't just about gathering together to get something. Rather, it's just as much about gathering together to give something. And those who are growing spiritually are doing so because they're committed to it. And because they deliberately resist those habits that keep them from growing. Indeed, the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 10 of that letter wrote, beginning at verse 24, and let us consider, here's one of the one another's, let us consider how to stir one another, to stir up one another to love and good works. Let's do love. Let's do good works. Let's help the kids. Let's help the teens. Let's help hospitality. Let's usher so people and greet so people are welcome when they come. Let's go to Lord of the Streets and give to people who can't give in return because they're hungry. On and on. Let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and that all the more as you see the day. What the day? The day, what the day? The day of his coming is drawing near. And of course, I needn't tell you that not everyone in church is growing and maturing. And it's not a new problem. Indeed, Paul had lots to say to the believers at Corinth. Oh, they were a handful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, and the Apostle Paul wrote, and I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants. He doesn't even give them the rank of toddler. As infants, little crying babies. I want mine, 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 mine. My daughter did that. Linda and I were talking about this the other day. I'm reading this book by Jordan Peterson. I always want to call him Oscar Peterson, but Oscar Peterson was a jazz pianist, but Jordan Peterson. And one of the chapters is called The 12 Rules. The 12 Rules. And one of the chapters is, don't let your kids do the sorts of things that'll make you hate them. That's a good chapter. And he went on to say, not only you hate them, but everybody else hates them. None of the kids want to play with them. None of the parents want to have them over to play with their kids. On and on and on. Right? Well, that Victoria was, in fact, I think it was maybe the only time I ever used physical discipline on her. And she did one of those things. And it was something here and something that that's mine. I said, no. I said, that's mine. It's right. Mine. She went and I don't even remember. I just grabbed her and took her right upstairs and I gave it to her. And I told her, I said, none of this is yours. This stuff is mine. And I let you play with it. Well, she must have really got the deal, because to my recollection, or Linda said maybe there was one other time when she was misbehaving in public or something, but to my knowledge, we never had to do that again. Now, that happens to be because she has a certain personality. I'm not suggesting that all of your kids have such an amenable spirit, but nonetheless, she was acting like an infant, like an immature brat. Mine. 1 Corinthians 3, I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk and not solid food, for you're not ready for it. And even now you're not ready, for you're still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only as in a human way? Or as the writer to the Hebrews wrote in the 5th chapter of the letter. About this particular thing, we have much to say, but it's hard to explain it to you since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time in your Christian life you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. And so what to do? Well, I invite you to work the steps. It's simple. It's not complicated. Make step number one a priority. Worship God regularly. Come be a part of this and hear this. And add step two, grow together faithfully. Bring your kids to Holy Cross Children and to Holy Cross Youth and go to Holy Cross Men and go to Holy Cross Women, or perhaps maybe that your schedule is such that it just won't allow that. All right? Get creative. Perhaps reach out to a friend or two, and then perhaps maybe invite somebody that you don't know so very well and set a regular time to meet together, perhaps at a home or in a coffee shop, and check in with one another. How is it going? I mean, almost half of what we did yesterday was just checking in with the guys. Check in with and then study a passage of Scripture together. Some little paragraph. Most Bibles are broken up, and they indicate where a paragraph begins and where the paragraph ends. And take a small portion of Scripture, or maybe there's certain favorite Scriptures that you have. In fact, you got them because you've got the little cards, and you're working the cards in the morning or whatever. Okay, good. Well, take that Scripture and put it on the table and say, what do you think about that? What word sticks out to you? Indeed, use the African Bible study method. We use it practically everywhere here in smaller contexts at Holy Cross. And you can even get a copy of it. It's out there on the table, just out those double doors, just out on the band side, and pick it up. And there's some examples and some texts that you can use and start with. And then pray for one another. What can we be praying for you? And watch what God does, because you're serious about growing in your faith. And so step one in our process for being and making disciples is worship God regularly. And step number two is grow together faithfully. And next week, if you're here, we'll unpack step number three. Amen? Growing together faithfully. Let us pray. I don't know, Lord. I'm having more fun in my life than I think I did when I was screaming about this thing is mine, mine, mine. In fact, if memory serves, I was so keen to grow up. I want to grow up and be big because I'm tired of being left out. I want to participate. I want to take the rite of passage and get through this and grow up and so on. And the same is true for the Christian life. To become more and more like your son, to mature, and for our morality to and our ethics to strengthen, and our wisdom and our spiritual insight to be advanced and expanded. It's exciting and it's fun. Indeed, transformation is what you mean for us to experience, inasmuch as anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is passing away, and behold, all things become new. And so, Lord, help us to take these things seriously, and not only to take them seriously and maybe give mental assent to them, but to think about the actions that we're going to take so that these things become true in each one of us, not in just other people's lives, but in our own lives, and not just to get something, but to be available to others to give something, we pray in Jesus' name.